It's a delicate dance. Oh, that's a big spider. It's the news, according to me. Well, good morning. That was a big spider. It is October 10th. October 10th. 10th of October. 8:45 a.m. Good morning. It is Thursday, 2024. We have a lot to get into. Not going to be a real long show this morning. I've got plenty of time, but it's not going to be a long show. I do have plenty of chai. And I have Joe's peach tea. He doesn't know I have it. It's peach tea called Joe's. I get it on Amazon, I guess. My wife kind of likes it. But later today, I will be making my own batch of, I'll be making a gallon of real homemade, home-brewed sweet tea with peaches, real peaches in the tea. That's what I'm going to be doing. I've got my faithful little dog here with me, beside me. And I also have a faithful little cat that keeps following me around. The sweet one, the little female cat that we have. She has become my little buddy. She snuggles in with me every night. When I go to bed, she just like right away, she jumps up in there and just snuggles right in. Got this little spot she likes to just like lay right up beside me, right by my, kind of on my one side there. She just kind of lays right in there. Doesn't leave. I can move her around. I can do whatever I want. I'll roll around and she just goes right out of the spot. Follows me everywhere around the house now. It's kind of fun. And I sit down on the sofa. She jumps up right in there. And of course the dog starts, as soon as I start talking, the dog starts digging. He's trying to get away from my voice. I have a couple things I want to talk about today. One is, I talked about my cup already. That's like, apparently I have a little too much caffeine. I'm talking a little bit fast. Couple interesting things happening with the Harris campaign. We'll talk about them a little bit. It's really sad. It's very sad to see what's going on here. There's this. First of all, two things. One is Kamala's voice. I'll talk about that a little bit. But I also want to talk about the things I'm noticing with her voice. The other thing I want to talk about is what's going on between Joe and Kamala. And they're apparently, of course, Joe is still with it enough that he feels jilted by what happened. He's not happy about what happened with this whole thing of they just kind of came in and took the presidency away from him, basically, which is otherwise known as a coup. And I don't think you see Joe out on the campaign trail. Now, they said he was going to be out there. I'm going to be out there helping our campaign, blah, 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 blah. He helped one time. Now, he stumbles into the press room. And one of the biggest bombshells he drops in there is that, you know, Kamala has been part of the administration. She's been in the room and on every major decision. In other words, if you don't like what I'm doing, she was a part of it. I don't think they realize how unpopular the policies of Joe Biden are. One of the main things from both sides is immigration. The immigration issue is a major deal for like 60% of the nation. They see that as the number one issue. Of course, the economy is right up there with it. They see that as also like 60 to 70% of the American people think that the economy is inflation and the economy is a huge deal. It's a huge deal. Both of those issues are flatly on Joe Biden's face. Now they continue to try to blame Donald Trump. Donald Trump's the reason for the border problem. Donald Trump's the reason for the economy. The economy was coming back. You look at all the numbers and where things were, it was worse. Before January, the economy had gotten worse. It was coming back. Things were better. Inflation was still down. Unemployment was coming back for the good numbers. Not we weren't getting more unemployment. The unemployment people were coming back to work and they weren't claiming it's started more jobs. This, you know, when the government comes in, when somebody comes in and says, you got 1,000 jobs here, okay, we're going to eliminate 50% of them. And then when those jobs come back, look, we created 500 jobs. Look at that. We're amazing. We are amazing. It only took us 3.5 years. So the ridiculousness of this administration, they did so many things that were just basically anything that had Trump's name on it. They just went the opposite direction. And of course, look what that did. They were idiots. What they should have done is somehow found a way to do the same thing and claim it as their own. That's what Obama did. Some of the Bush, but he wasn't very much different than Bush, basically. In fact, he got away with things because he was a man of color. He got away with doing so many more things. He dropped more bombs during his administration than Bush did. And Bush took us through 2 wars. But he gets away with it. He's not seen as the there's not a smidgen of corruption. No scandals during his entire presidency. I've seen people post this kind of crap on Facebook. It's people who used to be my dear friends, and apparently they don't like me anymore. They'll post an 8 years in administration, not one single scandal. Oh, they're just pristine. Not a single scandal. Are you that deaf? Are you that much of a dullard that you can't just like open your eyes for 1 minute and see what was going on there? I don't know. It just it amazes me. There were plenty of scandals. Do I need to name them all? I can name just a few. There was the gun running scandal that Eric Holder was a part of, Fast and Furious. There was the scandal that was the IRS scandal. The IRS was being weaponized against conservative organizations. The biggest scandal, in my opinion, the most egregious one. In fact, they're all egregious, but this is the worst one, I think, because of its political ramifications and what it means to our country and the integrity of our country is the spying on Donald Trump. That happened under Obama's administration. He was a part of that. He was. You can't tell me that it was just Joe that did that. Obama was a part of all of that. Can't just blame the alphabet soup organizations, I guarantee you. Because they said we're gonna do everything by the book. No, yeah, by your book. What? Yeah, we know how you treat the book. We know how you treat the Constitution. You look at the Constitution, you try to find every hole you can find in that thing. You try to look at every gray area. That was his whole thing as a teacher. He
taught constitutional law. He knows the Constitution because he's taught constitutional law.
He never did, actually, by the way. He was not a constitutional professor. I'm talking about Obama. One of the famous statements he made about the Constitution was this: well, the Constitution says all this stuff that the government can't do. It's just got all these limitations the government can't do, things the government can't do. But the problem with the Constitution is it doesn't tell you what it should do for you. Which is exactly the point. Do you see a theme here that maybe the founders in all of their specific things that they were going through, that they would omit something like that? Oh, we just forgot about that. Oh, yeah. We forgot. And of course, they use the term welfare because the term general welfare shows up in the Constitution, so therefore they use the word welfare because that's the general welfare we have to have. That's in the Constitution. They've twisted that. It had nothing to do with welfare checks. That's how they use it to justify it. Anyway, I digress. So let's talk about this relationship between Joe and the Harris group right now. Apparently, there's not a whole lot of communication between the two. Now, apparently, there's an agreement of some kind. There's probably something. This is probably part of their deal. Recently, Kamala was on the really tough interview. She went right into the lion's den there on The View. Because, you know, they just hate her. They just, you know, they really ask some tough questions. And she didn't get a tough question. Problem was, it was tough for her. It would have been tough for anybody else. I know exactly how I would have answered this question. And you know that she had to have known this question was coming from somebody somewhere at some point. Because this is the big deal. What's different about you and Joe Biden? And the only thing she says is, well, I'm obviously not Joe Biden. Oh, okay. Well, then that answers that question. Oh, yeah, you're not. You're a woman. He's a man. Oh, yeah, you're black. He's not. Or, you know, I guess we're going to call you black, I guess, now. You're Indian. He's not. You're younger. He's not. He's older. I guess, yeah. Okay, that's plenty of differences right there. Now, what are you going to do differently? And this is one of the questions. I think it was Sunny. What's her name or whatever her name is. I don't know. She's one of the most... She's probably the smartest dumb one on there. She's just very, very, very misinformed woman. She goes and asks this question. Of course, Joy Behar. Joy Behar, she's 82 years old. Just the magic of makeup, I guess. I don't know. We have... This lady asks her a question, and she says, now, what would you have done differently? Is there anything you would have done differently under, you know, than what Joe Biden has done? And her answer, of course, now this gets into her voice itself. I'm not going to play any of her clips this morning. I'm going to try to save some things for tomorrow. Tomorrow is going to be a very, very early show. But she has this answer, and it's, I wouldn't have done anything different. I was there for all I can't really think of anything I would have done differently. I was there for all the major decisions. I was involved in everything. So they're trying to play this. There's this delicate dance here. They don't want to throw Joe under the bus and say, well, I didn't like any of his policies. Because all of a sudden, this again is another flip-flop from Joe is the best person for the job and Joe is the best person, blah, 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 blah. You know, just a couple months ago, we were hearing about how great Joe Biden was. Joe Biden. How great he was. How wonderful he was. And now all of a sudden, she's going to throw him under the bus. Yeah, that doesn't work. And I think one of the things that weren't probably the part of the deal that they have with him is they're trying to protect his legacy. Probably one of the promises that they made was, you're not going to malign or say anything bad about Joe. Probably the worst thing they could, you know, come pull out is the person he picked for vice president. But there was a reason he picked her. And of course, the main reason was because she was a black woman. And when somebody comes out and says, oh, I'm going to put somebody on the Supreme Court and I want to make sure it's going to be a black woman. It's going to be a woman of color. Whatever it was, I think he said black one. Oh, okay. So that narrows it right down. And I guess what you're saying is that disqualifies any white person. So you're not discriminating at all on the basis of race, color, creed. That sounds fair. Good idea. It's not about content of character or anything else. It's just getting that skin color in there, getting that diversity in there, because that's our strength. Everything's about race with these people. So we have this issue here now with between Kamala and Joe, and she's in this tough spot. In fact, they said something about it on the CNN. CNN actually had a little panel of women and. They were all discussing this whole thing about how I'm really surprised she said that because, you know, she's trying to, this is supposed to be a change candidate And she starts, you know, people want to see this. And this is a, we want some change. People want some change. They'd like to have some change in their pocket again. And they're not getting that. Kamala's not coming out and saying anything about what she's going to do differently or how she's going to make, well, we're going to make the rich pay their fair share. Right? This is just Bernie Sanders crap. This isn't real stuff. Nothing you can actually, you know, quantify. So I don't know. I really don't know what they're planning to do with regard to the communication process of how they're going to separate the two. What's going to be different under her administration, because she's really not saying much of that, you know, other than, well, I'm a black woman. And she's trying to act like the de facto president now. She's coming out doing all this stuff that she would never have done as vice president. She's coming out, and this, which in my opinion, it violates the Hatch Act. When now that she's running for president, they've got her out doing things that the president would normally be doing. Making press announcements and all kinds of other things she's doing that's trying to make her look presidential. Now, what's interesting about this is that she's not able to do this from the Oval Office. They're not allowing her to do from anything. It's just this whole thing makes they're trying. It's a made for television campaign is what it is. And it's just behind the scenes, this whole thing is falling apart. I'm sure that the relationship between the Harris people and Joe Biden they're having a lot of struggles there. Now, keep in mind, Hillary Clinton, the Clintons in general, are in the middle of all this stuff. Hillary wrote a book. She's out there on the campaign trail, and she's talking about, she's putting in the plugs for Kamala. Or Kamala. So I don't, there's a whole lot of drama behind the scenes. Like I said, before this whole thing was going down, when Joe was in the midst of his flailing campaign that they were trying to rescue beyond belief, just telling us how wonderful he is and he's the best version of cogent there ever was. While they were going through all that, there was so much bickering behind the scenes. I was telling you there was a civil war, and it basically wasn't a two-sided civil war. There was about three or four different factions, main factions, that were fighting behind the scenes to see who was going to come out on top with power, this whole thing. And of course, now that she's actually been confronted with some of the facts that people kind of regret, the fact that she was never voted in. She wasn't voted in as a, well, I know I need to win everybody's vote. I'm not going to assume it. I need to. No, the problem was you didn't win the votes of the primary. You just assumed the position and thought everybody was going to overlook that. People are not overlooking that. And the more people get to know her, in my opinion, I think they may not be losing votes to Trump. What they are losing, and this is what's going to determine this election is going to be determined by one thing: voter motivation. Now, I have seen, right after, Trump got shot in the head, I think there was this huge thing of everybody would have voted for him that day. It's like if the election day was that day or the next day, everybody would have been out there voting for that guy. That was a huge motivation factor. Now, it's somewhat subdued now because it's been a while. Of course, he went back to Butler. That kind of, relived that moment. I think going back to Butler was probably almost as much of a courageous thing as just facing, being the kind of guy who would face that kind of thing. And giving the people of Butler, in my opinion, a chance to redeem their location. You don't want to be known as the place where a president was shot. You want to be known as the place where he came back to and rallied. And now we are known as one of the biggest rallies, most exuberant rallies that have ever been. So I think that what we're running into here is this this amalgam of amalgamation. This sum of all things that has been, you know, that Trump has been. Trump knows. This is the thing that Trump, you know, he's an old guy who's done a lot in business. One of the things that you find out in life as you get older, because that's what happens, and you've been through a lot of crap, sometimes you find that being what's the word I'm looking for? Tenacious. Having the tenacity to continue on in the face of the struggle. It requires a certain amount of moral fortitude, a resolve, a discipline of the self, a commitment to the vision. All of those things that take time. It doesn't just happen in a moment. It is a long, sometimes tedious slog. It is an uphill battle. It isn't over in a day. It isn't over in a week. It isn't over in a month. It is a consistence, resilience, with your face set like flint against the storm. Those are the things that an older person has a tendency to have a little bit more grip on because they've either experienced firsthand or been a part of something firsthand where it paid off. Maybe not always, but knowing that it could potentially pay off and be worth the investment of time, effort, blood, sweat, and tears. The accomplishment is the reward. And it was worth it. Sometimes. Sometimes not, but sometimes it is. Oh, there's a video. I wonder if I can pull this up. I gotta talk about this. That's the kind of resolve that Donald Trump has. And I think people recognize that. They see that. And I think people are starting to embrace that to some degree. Even people who don't like Trump are embracing that. But the thing about that is, it is this, everything that he's done has been an investment. And I think that voter motivation is now becoming a huge part of this election. I don't think that there's much motivation on behalf of people following Kamala. You've got the people who believe that Donald Trump is Hitler. He's the worst thing that's ever happened to the nation. Blah 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 blah. Got all that stuff. You got that thing going on. You know, he's going to destroy everyone. He's going to incinerate people. He's going to incinerate people he doesn't like. All this crap that they're saying. Now, but here's the problem that they have with all this crazy wackiness. He is not that kind of person. He doesn't like death. He doesn't like destruction. He doesn't like tearing people down. He had people, and rightly so, trying to get him to prosecute Hillary Clinton. He wanted to move on from that. He thought he was going to be making deals. He didn't want to be known as the guy who was just out to get retribution. He's not that guy. But that's what they want to make him out to be. So in the midst of all that, I think that that's not a big enough motivation to get people out. There might be 30% of the electorate that will be motivated enough because of that. Maybe. Maybe 20 to 30% that actually believe that fervently, so far into their bones, that they're willing to go after, get out there and vote because of that, because they're scared that the nation's going to. There's some others that kind of maybe sort of kind of, yeah, he's a bad guy, I don't like him, but they're, you know, those mean tweets. But it's not enough of a motivation to go out and vote for Kamala Harris. She has not rallied the troops, folks. She has not done a good job of getting people excited about voting for her. That is my point. And I think that in the midst of all that, she's running into a serious, serious issue. And that is, people just aren't going to show up. However, that's not going to stop them from having the major swing states. They're already putting some legislation in place. They're doing the same thing they did last time during COVID. They're saying that the storms now in Georgia and in Florida, some of the monitors that they were going to have, all this stuff, they're trying to get Florida, they're trying to change the voter registration thing. We need an extension on voter registration because people couldn't register to vote during this time. What is that about? Of course, it's the Southern Poverty Law thing, whatever it is. But all the organizations that are pushing for that and suing for that are leftist organizations. They claim to be nonpartisan. They're all leftist organizations. When they go out to have voter registration, they are going into deep Democrat areas to do that. They don't go into Republican red areas to do that. So it's very transparent as to what they're doing. So they're out there doing all this. Now, having said all of that, let's talk about Kamala's voice. Her campaign seems to be kind of falling apart. It's flailing like crazy. The places she's going to do interviews, and they're not going well. These people are not that necessarily adversarial, and she still isn't doing very well, even though they're not adversarial. These places are, it's just, to put it mildly, it's just train wreck, and they know it. And even CNN and MSNBC are making comments about this. It's like there's some people actually coming out. They realize she's failing, and they realize she's not going to win. And they're piling on. They're basically saying this is, I wish she's a nut. This isn't going to work. So that they're running into this problem now of what are we going to do with this whole thing? And of course, they don't want to be known as the wacky, O'Connell people type of people that is just out there saying all kinds of weird things. So this is where we're at now at this point. And she knows she's struggling. She knows she's having problems. Probably behind the scenes, she's being told that you got to do this, you got to do that. She's probably not wanting to do any of that stuff. She doesn't want to take the tough questions. And when she gets asked the tough questions, her voice just falls apart. She gets very unsure of herself. I'm going to try to put together some examples tomorrow. I want to pick the best ones that are really like kind of explain the dynamics of the voice. And the inflection and the trembling in her voice. She realizes she's on the ropes here. She knows that it's not good. She's not in good shape with this whole thing. So we'll see what happens. But I really truly believe she is about as insecure about this whole thing as anyone I've ever seen in public stage. And it's showing in her voice. She's scared. And I don't think that the Biden administration is really stepping up to help her at all. Biden himself is certainly not stepping up to help her. in any way, shape, or form. We'll have to see what happens with all that as well. So, folks, one of the other things I want to talk about is the storm obviously has gone through Tampa. It hit Siesta Key. I'm very familiar with Siesta Key. I've spent lots of time on that beach from the time I was a kid all the way up through just I think it's been a couple of years since I've been there. But I've always had either grandparents or parents or in-laws that have gone to that area. Some own property down there and spent a lot of time down there. But it hit at Siesta Key. It was kind of where the main storm hit. Yeah, the storm hit, I guess, there. That's where it made landfall. And it has now swept through pretty much all of Florida. Our hearts go out to those people. It turned into a Category 3 by the time it met landfall, which is what I had heard it was predicted to do. Category 3 is not the worst storm in the world, but it was still spin. I think it was winds up to 80 to 85 miles an hour or something like that, which is incredibly dangerous. Of course, then it also spawns all kinds of tornadoes and other things happen usually around it. There's also all the rain and water damage. So everything that they're going through, it's not going to be, I don't think this is going to be as devastating as the Helene was, but I think this is Milton. I've got some friends that live on, I've got one friend that lives on a boat down there in the Tampa area, St. Pete, actually. But it was, I'm sure he's fine because he's a large individual. I don't think the wind will blow him anywhere. But the boat itself, you know, it's hopefully everything's okay down there. Storm surge usually kills people more than the wind damage. People aren't ready for the water just coming in and filling up their home and everybody drowning. That's usually the case. That most people don't think about that. They're just like, well, it's impossible. How could that ever happen? How could that possibly happen? They didn't realize 12-foot storm surge. Now, I don't know what they had. I think they only had about a 3 or 4 foot storm surge down there. But when you realize, there's some places that I used to land in an airport, and the field elevation is like 4 feet. I think New Orleans might be that way. Height above sea level, 4 feet. I hope a wave doesn't come through there. It's washed the whole place out. But storm surge definitely would rise above. Of course, when you got storm surge, then you also have wave height above that. Divide the wave. You've got 10-foot waves. It's 5 foot above the storm surge. So that's 9 feet tall. So it's all math and science. I'll explain it later. I'm not a meteorologist, by the way. I'm also not a doctor or a lawyer or a financial counselor. But I do have a cup, still half full of chai here. That's good stuff. So I just want to talk about those few things. I just want to know that our hearts and prayers go out to those who've been affected by the storms. There are some other tropical storms in the Gulf and in the area that, you know, as the season moves more into November, closer to October here, probably some of these storms are going to start coming on hitting the east coast of the nation, whether it's Florida or up into the Carolinas and Georgia. We'll see how that goes. But in the meantime, we will continue to pray for our nation. Now, tomorrow morning, hopefully I'll have some of this audio. I'm going to talk a little bit more about Miss Harris's voice and what I predict is happening behind the scenes, because there's a whole lot more going on. And some of the voting laws, they're trying to pull a lot of shenanigans again. Same thing that they did before. They're doing it by executive order or by workarounds, trying to go around regular legislation, and blaming it all on emergency powers, emergency authority. So we'll see how all that goes. Florida cannot possibly turn blue. If that happens, you know something bad has happened. They only have to have, this, and we're talking about popular vote stuff again, getting rid of the Electoral College and all that. Now, we'll talk about some of those kinds of things tomorrow. Folks, God bless. Take care. Have a great day.